Too far east is west, too far west is east, and in the center we come together. Too far north is south, too far south is north, and in the center we come together. Uh-huh. You know what day it is, you know what time it is, uh-huh. This is the Mission Possible Radio Show for the next hour or so. You have to hear from me. And who am I? Why, I am the boss. I am the boss, RJ, and it is the first day of the week, and boy, am I on it tonight. But before I go any further, you know I've got to give it up to the Creator, because it is the Creator that gives me the mind to speak that you hear going over bbsradio.com. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that inspiration that comes from the Most High. And I also want to say a shout out to my good friend Helen and her accomplice Jeremy over there in Seaview. So please, God bless you all and thank you, for I am in a rare disposition this evening, and it is only because there's so much going on in the world, and you know, Lord, that it is for me to continue to preach that which you know to be the truth of what will be the salvation, and that is the mercy and compassion. Oh, yes. That which those could not even begin to understand, no matter how hard they study, to be able to will yourself to forget the indiscretions of the past and present, only looking forward to it stopping, and no more in the form of addition, is the prayer that everything be on the even way, that all get what they deserve to day. I mean, stand up, America. Stand up, world. Oh, yes. What is all? Let me ask you all now, what are all these weapons for? Is it that you all just love to invest all your children's future generations' money in war? Can you see us fighting another day? Can you see us doing it and calling it the righteous way? No more plans, no more scams. Now is the time to give everybody a hand. Oh, it's coming close to the awakening. It's coming close to the quickening. I'm telling you, my heart starts to flutter when I think about what's getting ready to go down. It's like a thriller, you say. Now, me, I'm entertained by it all. That's why I'm the boss. I'm the boss of this here story that you hear every Sunday, which is the first day of the week. Now, you know, I get busy. And it starts at 12 midnight on the East Coast, and just go settle in and get your jammies on the West Coast. And here we watch the sun go down in Hawaii. But it don't go down without a promise that it will return. And if it doesn't, why, that would be the news. And for those of you who do not understand how it is that I flow, it is that the difference between news and current events is the time it takes for you to digest these events, to research them, and then to come back with a plan to sidestep whatever new insanity they are trying to put in our way. Now you say, you can fill in the blanks. I don't need to tell you. Just look around in your own neighborhood or in your own world, city, in your government, in your struggles with the legal department, or in the struggle to get the doctor to give you what you need or stop giving you what you don't. I'm all for you. The boss says this because I have a plan. Now, I'm sure that there are some people that would step up and call it a scam, but I tell you, there is a great, great reward for those who keep faith. Now, I don't want to get in, because Reverend Roxy on Tuesday Inside Hour will be hosting it for Dr. Leonard Harwood. So all the people that are listening now, I want you to listen to the Inside Hour, because that's when I am able to deal with this from a different perspective. in my Godhead, but tonight I look at it from a journalistic point of view, and I find it to be all so juicy. Oh my goodness, this is like one of those, hey, Star Wars trilogy, you know, the things that people get into, like people going to see Indiana Jones. I mean, how many times can Harrison Ford do this, you see? Now, I want to look out there, and I say to myself, well, that's kind of interesting, because he don't stop, and neither does George Bush. Any of these other cowboys out here, these dinosaurs that are still walking around, and I'm going to be talking about a few of these dinosaurs because they keep on showing their little ugly heads. I don't know when I'd be like, lay down, you better go hide yourself, because if the truth ever come out, you're going to feel awful about what we get ready to say about you, and you know it'll be true. That's the truth of it, you know. But I'm going to get back to my story of espionage. I want you to settle in tonight, because I'm really just trying to pass over the time, because I have to do this. You know, I got Don Nikoloff, he on my case now. He want to talk about China. I want to talk about China, too. I want to talk about China all the way back. I want to talk about China. Go back to the Opium Wars. Let's just go back. Let's look at what the United States did to China, you know, and look at the Boxer Rebellion and what it was all about and what Great Britain was saying, and what its little child America was saying, and how it all growed up based on drugs and guns and lying and slaves. These are the things that we have to be proud of in America. Our evolution has been a humdinger. I mean, and we can sing the praises of America. We certainly can, because, you know, that is exactly how this country works. If it's at a disadvantage to you, oh my goodness, that's a deal. If it's fair, I want to work on it. So it's in my favor, you see. America is the sales person of the century. I can't even give it a gender. I just know they're out to sell something. And now, and what they've been doing for so long is they've been selling the story of espionage. And if you're into it, and you can't be faint-hearted now, I know you got to stand up and you got to believe in something. So you might as well believe in the dead bodies and the missing money, and you might as well just get hip that they are still at it, and it don't matter what you do, you got to be just absolutely diligent. Now, I want you to all think about that, because I said it just the way I meant it, you know. There is a lot of nature and energy in words in the public discussion, and sometimes just a little bit too much turned towards the future these days. And yet I look around at the present and I say, yeah, but if we study the past, we might just see why we're in all this deep kimchi. You know, and I don't know if anybody's left their kimchi out lately and then had to open it. Oh, my goodness, that explodes, and it ain't pretty, folks. I'm telling you, it ain't pretty. I'll also tell you that. You listening to Mission Possible, this is BBSRadio.com, and no, this isn't the Twilight Zone, and yes, this is a prepared rant. I'm telling you, you know, I don't want you to miss nothing tonight, because I want the discussion, the public discussion, to elevate itself so that you can look and see before you do anything. Why don't we clean the house? My goodness. I mean, let's get some going on here where we get to communicate some wisdom before we begin to select the next president of the United States. I'm telling you, you know, we've got lectures here about communism versus capitalism, and I never thought that there was a argument about communism and capitalism. Obviously, there is some capitalism going on in communism, and so it is true about democracy and everything else. Capitalism, what makes the world go round? It's not supposed to. That's why Jesus come into the temple and just mixed up all the money. Said, now go ahead. See what happens. You had it all figured out. Now figure it out. Figure it out. And boy, let me tell you, that was a no-no. And we all know that story, so we won't get into that. But I'm going to tell you, to elevate this public discussion is for you to all, okay, as they keep pointing to the past and they keep pointing to different people and they keep saying these things,
oh, he reminds me of JFK.
Yeah, he does, honey. You know, it just might be. Yeah, but, you know, but Junior over here say something else. Junior said he wants something else other than JFK, because when you look at JFK, that was the appearance that you get to the world, that was the press, that was the manipulation, but then there was the man inside. The man inside who could not hide, you see. So everything was backpedaling, backpedaling, and then moving forward. And it would have been cool. It really would have been cool, but there was something going on in another part of the world that needed tending to, and they needed our boys to be the cannon fodder for that war. And so, therefore, with all the rest of the reasons why he had to go, including infidelity, and his mistress, Mary Meyer, type that into your search engine, go look there and then look up a man's name, Cord Meyer, just type that in, M-E-Y-E-R, and I ain't talking Oscar, and just go on ahead and look at these people. This is CIA, and you know, it's still CIA. It always been CIA. Now the CIA countdown down to the DIA, and all and everybody got to know y'all in it. And we're all in it, and we're just giving them with the Pfizer bill. We just gave them a carte blanche. Might as well just take y'all back to the 1970s and get ready for the invasion, because they're going to be looking for everybody and everything. And they're going to try and gather to them all that they can so that they can keep what's not theirs. That's the way it goes. If they ain't happy any other way, that's what makes them happy. Now, you know, I've been, and I'm going to keep on it until I meet the man in the flesh. You know, I'm a big fan of Bob Woodward. And I'll tell you something, he has written a trilogy, and every now and then I have to remind you, those of you who are listening, that he wrote a book. And without infringing upon his godforsaken copyright, I'm going to be quoting some stuff out of his book and giving him credit for it, because it's just brilliant. It's just genius. But one of the things that I wanted to share with you is why I really got into it. And even there, I have to say, yeah, yeah, I know he working for somebody, too, and he leave out things, and he don't want anybody to really know what these people really like. He kind of glosses it over a little bit, but we know, and we know exactly. So all I thank him for was the fact is that he interviewed these people, these important people that coordinated all of this, which we call the Iraqi War, for a reason. And who are these civilians who then became military men with business suits on? This is what you have to ask yourself, you see what I'm saying? So he opens his book up with a thought, and it's, quote, "During my 30 years of reporting and book writing, I have found that journalism and public discussion too often turns to the future, which we can't know, rather than the past, which we can," unquote. I wrote, "I like the words Bob finds to let us know what the deal is. I like words like the coordinated terrorist attacks of 9/11/2001, knowing that my government is quite capable of collusion with their other self to create something that would take out nearly 5,000 people in one day. And the amount of death that day in New York City come back and haunt and will continue to haunt as you look in the news. People are drowning. People are not. This summer, people have been drowning and drowning and drowning. What's that about? You know what I'm saying? And it's also the fact is that these people died in a triangular type of situation. We're talking here. We're talking from the south to the west. You move west, they move east, they move north. South, they moved, they covered, they did their little gyrate. It was even making a pattern. If one was to do the coordinate, I'm sure we'd see some sick symbol that comes out of this that would be the clue, because they can't help but tell who they're working for. And we all know who they're working for. That's why the glory will be so large, because they're working for stupid. And you know, stupid is you know who. And if you serve him, you're going to end up on the funny farm. You're going to end up somewhere if you're working for him. So the whole idea here is to cut his arms off, because without you, who are serving stupid, you know, stupid can't do his job. And once you all understand that, you'll understand what you've been watching is a coordinated terrorist attack that will take our government, God bless this little what's left of this government, and it's going to just shove it down the toilet and flush it. And what you know of America will not be what is America any longer. And we can rail and rant, and those of us who do, well, pointed out, we'll be tasered or we'll be subdued or shipped off, and who will care, because the people that are moving in are for someplace else, and that's just the way it is. It is this way. So I look at this and I say, oh my goodness, look, here's another quote that he got here. This is a good one. He says, The Commanders is a very telling book. Now that's me that said that. He's the one who called it a coordinated terrorist attack, and then you have to go and see, could these people do this? With the help of the Saudis? Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about Bandar Bush. If there is a change, I hope it'll be in the ambassador to Saudi Arabia. We've got to pray. God bless the king over there. I do believe that he is a good man. I mean, you know, I really think that he's trying to do what he has to do, and I bet you he even has some suspicions about America himself. But, you know, just like anybody says out there that says to me that lacking in faith or anything else, they scared for their life, then there's no way to move forward if you're constantly standing still or taking two steps back so that you can move back into your space again. Now, for those of you who play this back, you understand what I'm saying, because it's exactly what a lot of people are doing. It's exactly how we're fighting that war over there in Iraq. We're fighting it from a very terrible point of view, and that view is going to get a lot more of our young people in serious, serious health deterioration, because it becomes really, really demoralizing, and I do believe that that is why they sent those kids over there, to demoralize them. It's more fun for them, you see. Then you send back these broken machines with all these different vibes and electro pulse energy dreams, and you can reawaken these guys and have them running around as they are now. I don't know if any of you have checked the news lately, but I'll give you a little bling bling about it. The boss is seeing too much murder in churches now. Oh, my goodness. And I think it was Alabama. I'm not on the net. I have to go off the top of my head here. And off the top of my head, I can see that people are dying. Oh, my goodness. They all over the place are receiving some sort of message which is saying, get right. I'm communicating to all of you just how sacred life is and how slender the thread between this and something else is. Now, I told you this is a thriller, but it's not one that's supposed to be told to make your heart stop. It's for you to kick jump that dead brain and to be and understand that they're doing something again. And when you hear your president-to-be talking about going over to sending more people over to Afghanistan, you gotta wonder, what is it with these guys? You know, the drugs have been flowing between these. This has been just the way it all works. Now all of a sudden they're clearing the corridors. Why are they clearing these corridors? And I said, you know why. Because they want to now join it all together and make it work and bring us this here capitalism, this here compassionate capitalism, which I've discussed it with a few people, and they believe that there is no such thing. Now, that's just like stupid, that's just like Satan, to want to bring you something that ain't never been now. More than ever, we need people who can reason how you pay even the interest on the debt when you ain't taking in and you ain't selling nothing. This is where it is. This is like being productive, America, for so long, and then all of a sudden a catastrophic illness hits. Boom! And you're flat on your back. For a while, people will carry you. But as the time goes by and you do nothing to heal yourself and you start to fester some more, you people around you who have been helping you begin to wonder about you. And they are now in the world wondering about us. What is it that we believe in? What is it that we are trying to prove? For we certainly can't boast of fiscal responsibility. Why, our Congress is giving this madman and a madman or whatever to be a blank check. It's almost like we're coming into that anniversary of this time of year, July 30th through, I think it was August 7th, that we had the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. It was passed by the jump to conclusion because it's the only exercise they ever get. Congress, where we basically, in theory, and in debate, very little, but in theory, we gave LBJ the go-ahead to fight the war in Southeast Asia. Now, you see, it comes down to the fact that if the Congress people had been studying their history, if they had studied their history, they'd say, you know, we got to look at this wording of this resolution so that we don't give away our right to declare war, because that's exactly what the Congress's right is to do. And as I don't remember, except that we get lots of resolutions and executive privileges and we get all kinds of acts, you see, to absolutely, one is to exercise force through covert and overt actions, and to retaliate and to come to the aid of other countries who didn't really ask for our help. If you read the trilogy, you'll find that out. You know, it comes down to what is the story about this war, because this is very recent. And this is where the debt come from. Now, if you want American history to be a story of people who escape constantly and report things in secret and escape from prosecution and tear up evidence and make their calendars not available, if this is the way we're going to go, then, you know, go ahead. It doesn't matter who you elect. They inherit customs that are oblivious to me, but I guess are expedient when it comes to democracy. You know, it works for them. You know, keep everything secret. Don't let anybody know what you're getting ready to do, but know what you're getting ready to do. But don't communicate it until I tell you so, you see. And that's the intelligence. That's the intelligence of our government. And before you go off to vote, I want you to look at it. I'm wondering why nobody wants to clean the entire house. I don't understand why Americans don't start dressing down their representatives and their senators, knock them off of those pedestals, and slap them around a little bit so that they understand you very wealthy, privileged individuals who took opportunities, because that's what the definition of an opportunity is, because if you don't take it, someone else will get it. Oh, my goodness. I know what's going on. And I know how you play the game, because if you ain't willing to play the game, you don't get to be the head. Ching-gong. You know, I want to remind you of this Dick Cheney just one more time so that you understand this man is all about and never will be anything else but about oil and about that which supports him getting the oil out of the ground. And the other thing is that this man, as vice president, who knew he could never be president, this was out of the question, nor was he ever interested in being president. He was only interested in furthering himself in his claim to be the king of the world. And that's way more than being president of the United States, you see what I'm saying? And he wanted it to be in the Middle East, because that's like the Wild Wild West, the Wild Wild West. So I'll remind those people who may be new listeners that I also always go back to 1999, because this is a time when, you know, Clinton had already signed us over to Turkey and we was getting ready to make the big deal, and that's a whole nother story, you know what I'm saying? He did his Istanbul. Just type in Clinton and Istanbul, you see what I'm saying? And you go there and you can see that he signed something that was making it sure that this oil was going to go through Turkey and then it was going to end up in Israel and then shipped over to wherever it needed to be shipped. And this was the stuff that was going to come from the Caspian Sea, you see, because they had deals getting ready to go, because they knew something about what was going on over there. But it didn't happen, and that's why we had the Iraqi war, because they had to go back and get the crude. And by that time, Saddam is like, well, I now see who you really see are your friends. And so I guess I'm just going to start working with my friends. And so he started making friends with the Chinese, and he started making friends with the French, and he started making friends with a couple other countries so that they could bring the oil out of the ground. Because you really have to understand that Iraq is like Texas. I mean, they haven't even begun to drill. They haven't even begun to extract the amount of oil. That's why it is so unreasonable for oil to be the price that it is, only in the sense that it's interrupted. So take that as a little bit of fortuitous premonition in terms of what might happen if they have their way. But to do that, America, to do that, you have to then cheat an entire group of people out of the resource of their country. And to do that is to upset the balance of the rise and fall of nations that are founded on capitalistic, individualistic, corporate rule. And they usurp our American system of government and use it like they use, I don't want to get into that, but they use it. And then when they're finished, they toss it aside and they move on. Well, where are they going to go? Where can they go that they can't hide? And I don't think they're interested in hiding. So this is one of those periods in time where we've got to really look and be aware. So I take you back to 1999. And it's a quote. That means by 2010, we will need on the order of an additional 50 million barrels a day. This is what Dick Cheney was very most aware of. He was aware of the pesky problem of finding oil and pumping oil. And this is the truth of the matter. And when you look at Enron and you look at the whole Caspian crash, producing oil is obviously a self-depleting activity. So, where is the oil going to come from, question mark? Governments and the national oil companies are obviously in control of about 90% of the assets. Oil remains fundamentally a government business. While many regions of the world offer great oil opportunities, the Middle East, with two-thirds of the world's oil and the lowest cost, is still where the prize ultimately lies, even though companies are anxious for greater access there. Progress continues to be slow. This is what I'm saying. Why is it slow, you see? Now, if you reverse that, America, and you were to look at the oil boom of Texas and Oklahoma and California, and you went back, you would see these men, their fathers, all wrapped up in scandal, trying to cheat the people out of their money, and it just comes forward. So from the Teapot Dome to this thing called the Iraqi Liberation oil thing that they did to go in there and decimate that country and to use up their resources. By 2020, Gulf oil producers are projected to supply between 54% and 67% of the world's oil. Thus, global economy will almost certainly continue to depend on the supply of oil from OPEC members, particularly in the Gulf. This region will remain vital to U.S. interests. So how soon you really think anybody gonna come home, you see? Because in order to possess power, you must be where the power is. So my predictions are that if we was to remove our troops, that would then make the country very unstable, at which point they would want to commandeer their own oil fields and begin to make their own deals, which is not the democratic way anymore. You see what I'm saying? These people want to control their own destiny in America, and yet we give them a sham democracy in Congress and ask them to vote for somebody that we want in. You know, the way in which they occupied that particular area of the universe was interesting, too, and I'm sure that there'll be many books written by State Department people as to the mess it was. So, we ask ourselves, the boss, if we was to review it, is saying, what? We went to Iraq because Saddam Hussein determined to, one, not accept our dollars anymore for oil. He wanted euros. So, we went over, we took out our former business partner and ally because he didn't want to take our dollars no more. Well, that's a good reason to go to war. I guess that's what happened when De Gaulle wanted his money in the 70s, huh? And he was ready to send the ships over because we were supposed to uphold the Bretton Woods Agreement, which is that we back our money with gold. Well, Nixon sure squiggled out of that one. He found a way to do that. And you know what? He was a lawyer. Well, what did that do to the rest of the world? The rest of the world has to sit on these dollars, but someday, oh, someday soon, they're going to want to cash in. And how will we behave? How will we behave, America? You know, you're listening to BBSRadio.com, and I'm just trying to get you to understand that we have a situation here that steps off into a reality that is very, very scary and yet very, very interesting at the same time. That's what a thriller is, isn't it? And that's what we've been watching. We've been watching it with holding our breath, and now we're holding our breath. Oh, my goodness, the dog and pony show in Germany. Well, there wasn't a dry ice in the eye in the place. There was no dry ice either. There was not a dry eye. I mean, everybody is moved with the memory of Kennedy. And it seems that this man is a combination between Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy. And that's kind of scary because that's two dead men. I wouldn't want to be talking too much about anything like that. That's kind of jinxy. But then again, you know, people can't help but draw parallels in history. Uh-huh. So, we have it here. We know what's going on. We know what we're doing. How long will we continue, America? Isn't that what the boss is really asking? And what's the mission here? Because the mission is possible. That's for sure. This is that once we begin to be fair, you know, let's look at it, folks. We've been had. Oh, the reasons to go off to war this time. This was so terrible. And it took and is decimating not only the ones that were silly enough to think that they could work in this country, get a college education, and then expect them to let them live it out when they got somebody else is ready to take their place in the first place. And think about these guys that are over there now doing these long tour of duties while their families are holding on to whatever it is that they borrowed into the future because they thought they had one, and when they got back, there'd be some place for them to be able to work so they could work it off, only to find that the only job they could have, if they still have half a mind, is to either work in the police department or get themselves one of them spiffy little black and white uniforms and stand over there and open up people's packages and confiscate their water at the airport. Is this the reward for the veterans that come and go? I don't think so, because truly, the CIA is a very large family, and it's got lots of family, and it is, and if you are in the CIA, your children are in the CIA, and your family's in the CIA, then everybody's working, because they're working for the beast, and the beast has sprung out into the DIA. It's sprung out into, that's the Defense Intelligence Agency. That's a monster. That's a monster. You know what I'm saying? Now, you get rid of them, what you got? Well, you got less assassins. And you got less weapons manufacturers, you got less money being spent on all those toys that they like to do where they can see in the dark and hear you breathing, you know, and all kinds of stuff and know you're there when you're home. This is a real thing. I'm to it tonight. I'm to it tonight because I live in a world of no intelligence. These people ain't smart. As if they were, they'd be listening to another. But they're listening to their one, you see. And that one is pretty stupid. I want to take a moment to let you know that I am involved in Live H2O. That's Dr. Lens of the Baby that we planning for 2009. Isn't that so nice that we have enough in the cupboard to be able to think about sometime in the future? That's the miracle of the whole thing, is to have the faith that you will have faith that they will think twice about doing what they do. That's the faith. To make them scared to push that button. But see, there's always one who's willing to override. And as he gets older, oh my goodness, it would do his heart good, probably put another 10 years on his life if he could create some mass destruction. Now, you know, over in India, that was the other thing I wanted to tell you. Bombs are going off in India. Bombs are going off in Turkey. Now, this is kind of interesting because these are the corridors that we are talking about that need to be cleared. And the people need to ask for protection. And that's when the bombs go off and you lose enough people, that's when the people start to clamor for protection. And then it's like America to say, like, they mighty house, not mighty mouth. Here I come to save the day, you know. And they place their missiles and everything. And we still, you know, I reported last week that Poland was kind of cushy with the president when he was when the minister come over here to see him, and Bush wants to place some missiles over there in Poland. And now I'm happy to say that Poland is thinking twice about it and has said, I didn't say you could. Now, the reason why I say it's important that we not have any more of these Tomahawk missiles being installed and in place in the world is because the kind of warheads that they are using are the types of warheads that wreak electronic havoc. You see, these are anti-personnel weaponry. And now, you see, one day we are going to be the anti-personnel. All you got to do is say the wrong thing, and they're going to be on you like white on rice. They're going to put you away, and every time you ask, hey, what about habeas corpus and innocent before proven guilty and all of that stuff, that don't apply to you no more. That only applies to corporations. Don't you know? Get in line. You should have been a corporation. You should have aspired to be corrupt and all of that good stuff. Then you wouldn't be in here. That's the way it goes. That's the way it went back when the lion, when we all had Daniel for a friend. And that was long before we ended any lions then, but that's where some of us ended up, and now we're back. And again, I have to remind you, we, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long, with so little, we now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. And that is the mission. To do the impossible with nothing. We don't need any false flag operations. We're coming straight at you as a nation of individuals. See, I try to visualize the Frank Capra world in which I was sold to. It is a wonderful life. And it is for us to stand up and to live it. And anybody that's spoiling it, you'll see it. They stand out like a sore thumb. You better believe it. They stand out like a sore thumb. So, you know it. I know it. Bob knows it. You know, these commanders who marched us off into war know it. Cheney and Powell know it. Everybody in Iran knows it. Bush and Cheney know it. Yeah. Congress knows it. We all know the deal fell through. Bill Clinton knows it. Now, here we go. We're going to try in The Hague. We're going to have ourselves a little war trial. You know, Isn't it funny the world can't seem to bring themselves to a situation where they would find themselves in a situation where they could bring one of our presidents? Huh? President's in for some war crimes? Because there's some serious war crimes going on. The kind of weapons that were used, the kind of torture that was okay. You see, these are the things that they're scooting by when I say they're getting out of Dodge. And they're getting away clean, and it don't seem to matter to anybody else. Sure. You know, it was a time way back when Saddam Hussein, and I have to keep reminding y'all, because we've gone around with him. This isn't the first time, you know. This is the time we killed him. This is the time we had him killed. This is the time in which we said we can't endure this any longer. We need that oil. We got to get him out of there, because ain't nobody asking for euros for that oil now. Oh, no, just these depleted, deflated, sorry, dollars. You see. And, yes, those of you out there, there are some buying opportunities coming up. They're going to drive that price down, but I'm going to tell you something. The world is going to surrender to silver and gold. Why? Because the world is buying it as we're selling it. As people are divesting themselves and marching off into the stock market of the future on whose dead bodies, I have no idea how they all feel so frosty about what's getting ready to happen is beyond me. Maybe somebody can call in and tell me what it is that you all are so gaga go-go about, because if you turn around and you really look at it, it's kind of like just the way it's been for the past 5-6 years. Everybody's been living on credit. Everybody's in, and most of the people ain't got no credit. They've been living day to day, month to month, moment to moment. They may be better off when this whole thing hits the fan than anybody else. Better off is the individual who goes ahead and does what's necessary, which is to pay off their debts. I know you say, well, you know, if the world's going to end, why should I pay my bills? Because it comes back to exact not you, but your future generation. And then it might be for everybody to see us just like 1938 in Germany. And that we too be like Poland or in Warsaw. And an entire group of people just wiped off the planet Earth because they didn't pay their bills. And they got the technology now today to do this. Now you say, what is it that keeps them from not doing that? Because every day we went over another soul. So the idea of peace and proper human control, in other words, to control self, to control one's appetite. These are things boss likes to talk about. This is how you get at them. Could you wake up tomorrow morning? Could you weary America? Could you come up with the hypnotist, the words to stop you from squandering, from littering, from smoking in public? From cursing, from spitting, I guess you gotta fart. It's healthy to fart, I heard. I'm not sure, but, you know, it kinda drives me crazy. Because I think you know when you're gonna fart. But anyhow, that's my thing. I gotta think about that. And anyhow, I'm gonna get back to what I'm talking about here. The reality of it is that as we look at this world, for those of us who have studied, we can see the promise. For others, they can't see the promise because they just can't see. So it's time for us. It's time for us to look and to look up and to look out for one another. That's the promise. This is that when it all gets stupid, I'll be there for you. It's kind of like one of them four times. I'll be there, you know. And I'll be everywhere. And I'll be there to watch the Iraqis cheer when we finally get it. And say that there's enough here for everybody. Why do you have to own it? And if you're nice to us, we'll sell you some. Isn't that the way it goes? You have the right to refuse service. Why should it be any different in another country, America? I keep asking you. And are we going to have a president who's going to start dealing fairly with the world and relegating some of their responsibility to their own independence to themselves? Leave them to themselves. I mean, I think that is the most important thing to do. It's like we now are joining with the Soviet Union and beating up on these people some more. It just goes round and round and round. Why? Because they're the Russians that were kicked out a long time ago who are now back And it all makes sense to me. And it makes sense to a lot of other people who've studied history. Now, this thing, China, that's another day, that's another time, that's another way. But yes, yes, Saddam was going to be dealing with the Chinese, he was going to be dealing with the French, he was going to be dealing with the Russians, he was not going to be dealing with Exxon Mobil, he was not going to be dealing with Chevron Texaco. No matter how many times these big giants can merge and change their faces, he, Saddam Hussein, had no plans to have them drill dookie squat out of his country. When they found this out, when they finally dawned on them in the spring of 2003, the United States of America invaded Iraq. Plain and simple. There was no other reason. And we ourselves, as an invading army, burned up 2 million barrels of oil per week, riding in them SUVs and all those tanks and trucks, you see. And all of that equipment that was hauled and all the contracts and all the promises and plans were put into place. And I tell you something, I don't care how you look at it, how can you not see the billions and billions and billions of dollars going somewhere? These men had to be outfitted. These men had to be transported. And then we find that these men didn't do their own KP. They were fighting machines, every last mutant one of them. And I'm not talking about anything other than the idea that you think you can go over into the middle of a desert on a short notice and be prepared for that what is going to hit you when you get there. The enemy is not Iraq. It is that desert. The enemy is not the Iraqians. It's Halliburton and the waters that they feed them. And the food that they're eating. Remember, the boss believes shelf life, no life. Irradiated food. I've already lectured you too many times on what H.J. Miller said in his Nobel Prize winning lecture. Listen, get it. I'm paraphrasing, but you can find it for yourself. You can look to the year and you can see, because they just don't give them out to anybody. And not just anybody gets to talk. That's the authority that I speak from when I bring up this man's name. And he's done already told me 6 ways from Sunday that if you irradiate a substrate, a nutrient, a protein, anything, you are gonna get mutants. You're gonna get mutations. And we have some sick, sorry, son of a Satan, skating types of individuals working to deconstruct the truth of the matter to use it against the people. Ah, doesn't take a rocket scientist to play that one backwards and deconstruct it. Just like the UFO crafts that they out there at Area 51. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. So, give me that bucket with the big hole in it and bring me some water. Is that what we say? Uh-uh. Oh, bring me some gasoline. I want to put out this fire. Is that what we say? No. So you best look to these corporations and how they thrive and the deals that were being made back in the 90s when Clinton was president. And then and they got the bad news, how we moved and we found our new enemy. And when we got the Bushes, we had to have something. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting a caller. Hi, caller, who is that?
This is, well, I use as my alias the Red Queen, which is what I use for my Skype and everything that I have that's on the Internet. Calling from New Orleans.
Oh.
Listening to you about the situation. I haven't been listening to the show long, I will admit. However, it's amazing how so many people of my generation, because I'm 55, don't do the sit-ins, don't rise up, but just complain. And I think I have a solution. I have a reason for that. We've become a disconnected generation. We didn't have cell phones then. We'd actually talk face-to-face, meet at someone's house. We had worked up. We looked in each other's eyes. And we said, we're not going to take it anymore. You know, we're going to do something. We're going to develop a system for change, a peaceful system. And today, so much of our lives are impersonal that it's more of what's fed to us than how we interact. Do you agree or not?
Oh, I agree with you. Well said. Very well said.
I was listening to you, I was saying, you know, the real enemy, is it an enemy or is it an ignorance? Perhaps the real enemy is ignorance of being able to connect with another human being and actually together look at a situation without having it fed to us.
Definitely exercising our ability to emote was taken away from us, probably, at least the boss believes, after we all tried to get together in the 60s. And I think that there was a force that wanted to dissociate. I know as a Afro-American in the 60s, I could feel within my own community the need to get together, but there was always these influences that came from outside and seemed to would come as soon as we would start to get together and begin to speak and identify and say, oh, I didn't know that was happening to you. That was happening to you. Oh, they was in my neighborhood. Oh, yeah. And we begin to look and we see that it crosses something else, that they want something else from us. They came in and they sent us afar. They took away our leaders. They took away our music. They took away everything. And so I think in the 70s, we became selfish, and we said, well, I think I'll just work on myself. And so we had all of our generation go off and work on themselves and discover themselves and raise their children in a Me Too situation. And now today, for them to really get excited about what I'm talking about, they understand that, yes, when IndyMac closed their doors, you could not get your money out. And the boss said that back a year ago, that I'm dealing with very real issues that are coming as cause and effect from the insane playing. And because we never stepped up to the plate to carry forward the prosecutions of these people that we know are guilty of these crimes, we now stand today overwhelmed. Not overcoming, but overwhelmed. And I think that it is a very few people who have looked at the story and kept looking at it year after year after year and expressing and constantly sticking with the story. That's why I'm with Dr. Horowitz, because he's another researcher who's been sticking, and we jive together. That's the Inside Hour on Tuesdays. Our show comes on same time, 12 midnight. And so I applaud you for what you said. And yes, it when I'm in my Reverend Roxy, when I'm in my mode right now, boss, just trying to recant and to recite history and to try and get people to begin to use that powerful internet to type in some crucial names to see that the way in which we operate as a country has to stop, that we got to stop doing business and we have to start taking care of our people and the people with inside. And we have this capability, but we have to stop warring. So how do you do all of that, you know? And that's the discussion, and I'm hoping to encourage that kind of public discussion. So the solution comes in ways that are just like what you just did, calling in and sharing. And I want to encourage you to continue to share, and if you have something else you'd like to say, please do, because Don has given me some extra time, and I'm feeling, I want to hear from as many people, especially those who call in. So you're from New Orleans, right?
It has to do with New Orleans. Now, what I just said is very important. about looking people eye to eye and things that happen, you know. Katrina's over, Rita's over. I lived in the area that was affected by Hurricane Rita. Our levee spoke broke during Rita. National Geographic took a picture of a couple of cows, and that's all you knew about Rita. But it did affect my area, which is lower than New Orleans. That's all past history. That's not really why I'm calling. Why I'm calling is
well, it's interesting because we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing a show.
A lot of the people, that mm-hmm. Were victimized because of advertisements and promises. We stopped trusting people and getting together as groups and looking at each other from eye to eye. In my section where Rita hit, mm-hmm. which is Terrebonne Parish, there was less victimization than there was in Jefferson Parish and Orleans Parish. And that's simply because their lives were so much faster and they were dealing more with people coming in and making promises they didn't know. They didn't have the groups, the eye-to-eye things. I mean, they were destroyed. And in the hurricane, it certainly wasn't their fault. But when the money finally did come in, there was a lot of corruption because there wasn't that. You know what? My cousin Joe, he's in Texas, but he's coming back, and we've got some friends. They're forming a company. And there wasn't that allowance, actually, for the money to even get to those people that would be honest in rebuilding.
Mm.
This is the problem. The problem is, and okay, I'll just go ahead and say it. The problem is we are being fed things, advertisements, subliminal suggestions in the advertisements. And even when the government promises to help us, then they qualify who can do it. A good example is the people, the poor people that were displaced and had to live in the FEMA trailers that later found out were poisoning them with formaldehyde fumes. There's no accountability for the quality of our lives, of our children's lives, because we are too dependent upon impersonal contact. And groups need to form and need to come together personally and unite, and then maybe there's chapters and there's some technological contact, but more actual person-to-person meetings with eye-to-eye contacts and a meeting of minds really needs to occur before any change in anything, our government, the position on the war, people being cheated by banks that are really hedging. You know, did we not learn from Enron? Obviously not.
We have not learned a thing. It is amazing how we can look up and see no one is driving and just go back to partying, realizing that that might be better than what would happen if we touched the wheel. I think it for me is an interesting time in which to live, and I volunteered to come down here. You know, I want to invite you. I have a special in my heart because I don't believe that it's history what happened in Louisiana. And in August, I have another good friend, Jeremy, who is going to be coming on my show, and we're going to be discussing. He was in another section of the town when, and he described the whole hurricane. And I thought that we'd get some interaction going here because I don't think that it's over, and that the kind of suffering that community occurred in that community is still very open. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't been resolved, and it isn't until we as a country begin to look that they were an experiment, that FEMA used that whole area as an experiment and did some
I
really...
I would like to keep in contact with you.
Wait a minute. I think we have one more caller on the line.
But there are definitely other people that were actually at the convention center that I can put you in touch with.
Well, that would be good.
I can do that. So what we'll do is then I'll hold. You can take the other caller, and perhaps someone can come, and we can get some contact information.
Going. Yeah, the people that talk to you, they'll give you, you contact me through, well, I can give you my email, okay? You just call me at, you can chat me up at Roxy, R-O-X-I-E, at Turtle, T-U-R-T-L-E, party.com. Send the email there, okay?
Turtle Party.
Turtle Party. Yeah, Turtle stands for the United Resolution to Love Earth. It's something that goes back to old Southwest, magazine did a contest on how
well,
world peace.
Well, 55, Turtle Party stands for the inability to get ready very fast. I'm just kidding.
That's pretty quick. Okay, let me see. I'm not sure whether I have another caller or not, but I don't want you to go away because I do want to get the flavor of what you were saying and kind of and get a little bit more of what you're saying because it definitely goes along with what I'm saying. I don't need to play the devil's advocate. I'm just trying to jumpstart people's, you know, kick them in. You know, if we're going to have a democracy, the kind of democracy we need is one that can self-examine and look and see if we can't fix it before we go off, you know, any further, you know. All right. So, yeah, my caller called in that had the Louisiana experience. Know that I hear what you're saying, and that definitely that lack of contact that we have as a community, that knowing each other's name, that disassociation, that came with our inability to keep up with the Joneses, per se, in terms of what are the Joneses next door doing, it's none of my business, that kind of thing. But when you're thrown together in a horrific hurricane situation, boy, oh boy. So give me your contact information or leave it with the caller there or call back in and give me, and they'll give you mine. And let's get together about that Hurricane Katrina episode, because I think that you and Jeremy would be very good people to have on the show from your experience, because a lot of things were happening that day at and that whole week and 2 weeks and then on and on and on. So the boss wants to address it, and the anniversary is coming up, and these are fresh in our mind, because as disasters strike, we need to set the precedent for how our people are going to be treated and to what avail and how. But I have my own suspicions about that whole FEMA experiment. Once it went down and it was clear that they had these people in this situation, it was definitely a social experiment. And I don't know, I think we kind of failed the inability to rescue these people and to do the wonderful things that we said we would be able to do is beyond me. And so the boss has to say that, you know. The other side of it is I want you to constantly check yourselves when you're talking about this oil. Yes, it is about oil, but it's also about business, and it's also about this market, and it's also about countries, where the oil is and where we're going next. And so next week we're going to be dealing with, and we'll be talking about China, and we'll be talking about the Olympics that's coming up. Oh, my goodness, this should be an incredible time. I know that with all these bombings, we'll probably be on a high alert. And this is just the way it is in this world. Well, I'm feeling like I need to just go on about my business here. I want to wish you all a good week. I want to bless you all. I want you to please contact me. I'm going to have Miriam Snyder from Organized Crime, End Organized Crime Now, on the Inside Hour. Dr. Leonard Horowitz has given me the Inside Hour to host. He'll be away from his phone, so I get to keep you company. So stay tuned. Keep listening to BBSRadio.com and know that I truly do have aloha for all of you. Good night.